Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. I'm glad you're listening today, because I've got a loaded question for you. Are you ready for it? Buckle up. When you look back over your life, this is maybe one of those obvious questions, but I want you to think about it not rhetorically, but literally. When you look back over your life, are there choices you've made that you would actually change if you could? Are there choices you've made that you would actually go back and change if you could? Do you think your life would be better now if you would have chosen differently back then? So what are we as Christ followers who are fully redeemed by God? What are we supposed to do with these regrets from our past? Are we supposed to drag them with us and constantly think, if only, if only? Are we supposed to do that? Well, we're going to talk about that today. My friend, best-selling novelist James Rubart joins me today. His latest book explores these themes of regret and redemption. Title of his new book is this. It's going to really, one of our producers just today said, that title makes me so curious, I got to read the book. But here it is, The Five Times I Met Myself. I can't wait to talk to Jim about this. Oops, James, I knew I was going to make that mistake. So let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. James Rubart is a professional marketer and speaker. He's the author of the best-selling novel Rooms, as well as Book of Days, The Chair, Soul's Gate, Memory's Door, and Spirit Bridge. He lives with his wife and sons in the Pacific Northwest. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear James Rubart, welcome back to the show.
Susie, it is so fun to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Congratulations on another book.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, mm-hmm. Feels good.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so let me ask you this. We know this because you've been on plenty of times. We love to start out talking scripture. Love that you chose this passage. It's just one of my favorites, 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light and momentary affliction is producing for us an absolute incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Talk about that passage, why you picked it, James.
Well, the last year and a half have been a season of suffering for Darcy and I, and it is so easy to get caught up in those things we're going through instead of focusing on what is coming. Instead of focusing on the promises of life eternal with the Lord, it's so easy not to focus on the hope, not to focus on the things that are unseen. And when Paul says that, here's a guy that really has the heart of the Lord, right? And he says, boy, if you could see what is coming, that glory that is coming for us, you would look at all these sufferings right now you're going through and just go, they're so minuscule. They're not even worthy to be compared. And so that's a verse that I've hung on to, and it's given me hope, and it's given me redemption. So that's why it means so much.
Well, when you think about this, these present troubles, even though we walk through really, really hard things, and we're walking through some pretty significant trials too right now, Jim. I just got to call you Jim. You're my buddy. For those of you who are listening, he's James. James to you, but he's Jim to me. That's just messing me up. Okay. But I love this. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us and in us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and will last forever. When we're in our troubles and in our suffering, they don't feel small and they feel like they're never going to end.
Right.
But if we trust Scripture,
right,
they're adding a weightiness to our character and producing a glory in us that won't go away. When I stop and look at that, it makes me just want to stop in my tracks and go, okay, I'm gonna reframe this hardship in a different light. I want you, and if you're free to share any of what you've walked through or not, but just talk about maybe some of the takeaways of your battles recently.
Yeah, we last time I was on, we talked a little bit about this, how a tree went through our house, went through our bedroom, and it almost killed Darcy, almost killed our younger son. I was not home. If I had been, home, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you right now. And everything that that brought up, Darcy went through PTSD. It really stripped away so many things that you get comfortable with. Your home, this is the place you're safe and secure. And having to go through that year and a half of what do we do now? We're rebuilding the house, and yet it's not some place that really Darcy wants to live anymore. And so we ended up actually moving to the central part of Washington State, and all the trials that come with that. It really stripped me down, and I can talk about this a little bit if you want, but it really stripped me down to my core of what really validated me in my life. And so going through all that, like you said, Susie, the suffering that we go through, if we can look at it and go, wait a minute, this is producing gold. And I think when we are in the kingdom forever, we're going to look back and I'm going to go, Susie, remember me telling you about that? Hmm. Look at the gold that it produced. Look at the gold that's there now. So, yeah.
The glory that far outweighs them all. We've got to remember that. And this is exactly why, Jim, that we talk about passages at the beginning of the show, because I really believe what you just said was for somebody listening today who's in the thick of it right now. And, okay, let's talk about this. First, you got to tell me how this idea, because you're known for more kind of spiritual warfare type books. How did this, the five times I met myself, how did that come up for you?
Well, I have to give credit to Darcy for coming up with this idea, because she said, the Lord knows what is going to happen to us. He knows the person that he is making us into 10 years from now. He knows what we're going to be like 10 years from now. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could talk to that person and communicate with that person 10 years into the future? Well, as I started to develop the book, I realized, you know what, it would be even more powerful if we could go back. Because those are experiences we remember, those choices where we go, oh my gosh, my life would have been so much better if I'd chosen differently. And so that's where we kind of turned it on its head and went back and started developing the idea of what if you could communicate with your younger self.
Okay, so you pitch the proposal to your Christian publisher and you say, I want to do this thing. What was their first response, I got to ask?
Well, here's the crazy thing, and this is going to be a longer answer probably than you were asking, but I wrote the first book. I wrote the whole thing with the future self, turned it into my publisher, and my editor, Amanda, she is one of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet, and she said, Jim, this was the hardest email I had to write, but she wrote me and said, you know what, the book's not working. We got to redo it. And so I had to scrap an entire 95,000-word novel and start over. And I am so glad that she had the courage to say that, because this book is so much better than that one ever could have been.
Bless your heart. Okay, so give us the basic plot of The Five Times I Met Myself.
So the basic plot is there's this gentleman, Brock, and he's 52 years old, and he's just not in a great spot in life. And he just, gosh, if I could go back and change things, I would. Well, he learns lucid dreaming. What's essentially lucid dreaming, the very quick definition, is a dream where you're aware that you're dreaming. You're conscious in your dream, and most of us have experienced that. Well, in lucid dreaming, you can control the dream. And so my protagonist, Brock, he starts learning lucid dreaming, and somebody says, well, if you've always wanted to say these things to your younger self, why don't you bring your younger self into the dream, and you can tell him some of these things. Just get it off your chest. It'll be kind of cathartic to do that. So Brock does that. He meets up with his 23-year-old self and tells him some things he wished he'd done differently. When he wakes up the next morning, things in the present have changed. His life has changed.
And this is a problem. I mean, you think about that. Go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
No, you go ahead.
Well, so things have changed in the present, but not necessarily the way he thought they would change. Those choices that he made differently now, he convinced his 23-year-old self to make different choices. But when he wakes up, he goes, oh boy, this is not what I thought it would be. So he goes back, talks to himself again, more changes come, and things just get worse at that point. And I don't want to give too much away, but he has to come face to face with, oh my gosh, I changed things the way I always thought they should be. and it didn't turn out how I'd hoped it would.
So this is not exactly a spiritual warfare type of novel, but it is sort of out there. I mean, the whole idea, I'm thinking of somebody listening going, lucid dreaming, that sounds kind of New Agey a little bit. So maybe give us context
right.
of what that is so people aren't afraid or getting an email out to me right now. You know what I mean? I just want to make sure that you can explain that a bit.
Oh, it's a great question, because when I first kind of came up with this concept, I had to research this and make sure this was not New Agey, that this was actually a research scientific thing that people do. And actually, lucid dreaming has been shown to help people overcome fears. It's brought healing in relationships. And so it's actually a technique that's not that well known, but it can be used in a really positive way. So, yes, I get the whole New Age thing. It is not New Age. I found these websites from Christians saying, nope, you don't have to worry about that. So I never would have done it if that was
True.
That was an element. So, yes, it is a little bit out there, but you wouldn't expect anything less from me,
That's
right?
That's true as well. So give us a little bit more, if you wouldn't mind, about Brock, his character, and just a composite sketch of him and where you got the idea for him. Do you relate to him? Do you know somebody like him? What's his deal?
Well, he's all of us, Susie. He's all of us that have lived, you know, more than a few years on this earth. And so I've been married 29 years. I'm over 50. And anybody that has gone through that much life, I mean, they've had cracks in their marriage. They've had, you know, relationships that have fallen apart with friends, with possibly their children. And so this guy is successful. He's got a company that's successful. He's got a marriage that seems successful. But when he gets word that his company might be falling apart, kind of all the cracks start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He sees, you know, money can cover a lot of pain, right? But when the money goes away, then some of this stuff starts coming out, and he realizes, wow, my marriage isn't what I thought it was. My relationship with my son isn't what I thought it was. In fact, my whole life, the thing that brought me satisfaction, this company, the thing that brought me validation, my company, and how successful I am, that's gone away. So what do I do now? And so he's in a bit of a desperate situation where he wants to go back, and he pinpoints one thing. If I could go back and change this, it would fix everything.
And does it? We won't give it away. Never
Not
mind.
Exactly.
Trick question there.
Not exactly.
Yeah. So we've got a few copies of James Rubart's new novel, The Five Times I Met Myself. It's a very cool cover, I got to say. Maybe you've got questions for my friend Jim about the writing process or about the story, about what it takes to craft a novel. You know, we always have a springtime writer's contest that's coming up a ways away, but it's always good when you get a great novelist like Jim on the air. You want to ask him questions if you are an aspiring writer, so we welcome those questions as well. We've got a few copies to get into your hands, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with James Rubart in a moment. One of the beauties of live radio, our guest dropped off and we don't have him, and we're trying to get back to him. So Grace has called him and we got his answering machine and we're not sure what's happening. So I'm going to take some of the calls that are coming in, and if I can't answer them, I'm going to write down your questions, and Lord willing, if we get Jim back on the line, we'll get them to you. All right, so let's take some calls, Matt, if we can. Okay, I've got line two, and I don't even have a name, but this is live radio. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Oh, good.
Is this Jim?
Pardon me?
No, I'm sorry. What's your name?
Randy Hall. I didn't really have a question for the author. I just appreciate a good Christian novel.
Okay. Well, Randy, so nice to meet you. I don't know if you heard while you were holding, but our guest, Jim, dropped off by accident. The phone line cut off, and we're trying to get back to him. But since you waited and you got on the air, you get a copy of this book, The Five Times I Met Myself. I'd love to hear what you think about it, okay? So what you have
great,
to do?
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. So just give Grace a minute because she's kind of frantically trying to get our guest back on the line. You may have to hold for a few minutes, and then you give her your mailing address,
right,
and we'll get that to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. He sounded so much like Jim Rubart. I thought, hey, we got him back. Let's take this next call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
What's your name?
Hi, my name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Good.
Good.
So I wanted to talk to you about that lucid dreaming. It just maybe, I'm by no means an expert, but as a kid, I would have dreams where I could fly through my house. And I would have to use the restroom, so I'd get up and do that. I'd come back and try to go back to sleep, and I would try to reenter that dream, and I could.
Wow.
And so I know it's possible. I don't do it anymore, really, but it's sort of just like you want to engage in that dream again, and so somehow you're able to kind of manipulate the fact that you're coming back to that.
Isn't that amazing? I actually had a similar thing, and I'm really going to reveal something here, but when I was a kid, I would have these daydreams, actually, where I'd be sitting in my class, and I actually would be sitting in my grade school class, and I would picture myself diving out the window because my white horse had come by, and I would jump on the horse and go save whoever was suffering at the hands of a bully. And I would have those same dreams at night, and it would be the most amazing thing. And I would picture in my head who I wanted to go save. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I think if you have a wild imagination, it probably is more likely. Maybe you should consider writing a novel. I'm just saying. Well, you get a
thank you,
Mike. You'll get a copy. And like I said, you may need to hold for just a bit, and we'll get your address from Grace, and then Shola will get the book out to you. All right. We've got Danette checking in from Duluth. Danette, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi there. You know, I found this topic extremely interesting. I always wanted to go back and tell my younger self, kind of help myself not to make those mistakes. And yet I feel after becoming a Christian quite a few years ago, it's like, you know what? I think I now have, more experience of being, well, naughty at times, so that I can help others and have those bad experiences to hopefully share God with them now.
You know, that's a really great perspective, Danette, because the enemy would love for us to live our whole lives with regret and the if-onlys. But the thing about it is, when you're in Christ, Scripture says you're a brand new creation and old things have passed away and the new has come. And so you have a brand new identity. Doesn't mean you wipes away those experiences, but the penalty that goes with those experiences. So you're so right. You can now have a takeaway from those battles, from those sins and missteps, and you can offer wisdom to other people. And the Bible says we receive comfort so we can be comforters. And I love what you're saying because that's exactly right. And thank you, Danette, for your call. I appreciate that so much. God bless you. Okay, I think we might have the James Rubart on the line. Is it you, Jim?
It is.
Don't
I.
ever
it is
do that again. We don't know what happened exactly, but, I'm all right. I've just had a little bit of a hyperventilation, but it's good now. It's good. Glad to have you.
Yeah.
So we had a few calls. One gentleman called in and said he only knew a little bit about the lucid dream thing, but he said when he was young, he did it all the time. He would have a dream. He'd get up, go to the bath, and come back and kind of pick up where he left off and just could do that. So
wow.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I'm wondering.
Yeah, I haven't been able to do it myself yet. So that's great to hear that this guy did it.
And another gal, Danette, called and she said she used to live with regrets, but she said now that she's in Christ, she realizes she can just share wisdom that she's learned from her past missteps and mistakes and offer wisdom to others. And I think that's great wisdom as well. I want to ask you, Matt, can we grab another call? All right. We don't have names just because of a little bit of a frantic trying to get a hold of Jim here. So I'm not sure who this is that's calling or what even city they're calling from. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Andrew. And I was just, I thought about this a lot, being able to go back and change things and talk to myself before and, what I would say. And a lot of regrets. But one of the things that hits me is that when I was younger, I didn't really believe in Christ the way I do now. I believed in God. I went to church. I tried to, be the good person. But I feel as though making a different decision when I was younger wouldn't have necessarily made things better now without Christ. Just because I might have not said what I said or not did what I did wouldn't necessarily make anything better And I think God had led, God leads us all, but I know for me, God has me right where he has me for a purpose. And regardless of the mistakes that I've made in the past, having Christ in my life right now is better than making a different decision without Christ, you know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Wow, that is so well put, Andrew. James, do you want to talk to Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew, I love that. I love that because essentially you're saying, God, I trust God that he wove a tapestry that I could not see at that age. Exactly. And if I went back and said, let me weave a different tapestry, I know better than you, God, where I need to be right now, you're saying, no, Lord, you know where I need to be. You know that those things I made, even choices that I might regret now, no, you used it for good. You wove it into the tapestry that is what I'm living now, and the beauty of that tapestry that you're living now could not have occurred any other way.
Exactly.
Wow, Andrew.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. And you're going to get a copy of James Rubart's book, The Five Times I Met Myself. We've got a few actual copies. We've also got a few copies of advanced copies of Jim's book. And so they'll come that way. It'll say advanced copy on the top of his book. So, you know, I was thinking based on Andrew's comments there, you know, scripture in Psalm 23, it says, you know, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day, Jim, I was just sort of pondering that and thinking, God redeems our past. So when he comes into our present and he saves us for our future, when we look back over our shoulder, we can't look at our past without looking through the filter of his goodness and his mercy, because somehow, some way, he's able to redeem even past choices, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Yes. Not only redeem them, but make them more glorious than we could ever imagine. What parent does not look at their child when the child comes and says, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I made that choice. I can't. What do we say to that? What do we say to our children when they come to us with that attitude? We say, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And so much good is going to come out of this, because you will not have the suffering and the pain you went through. If you do not have that, you cannot minister to other people. If you don't go through that pain and suffering, you will not be able to have that weight of glory we were talking about at the start of the program. If you haven't gone through those choices where you regret, you are not in a position to go, you know what, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. All I can do is throw myself on your grace and your mercy and crawl up in Daddy's lap and just go, man, just hold me. Tell me it's going to be okay. And he longs to do that. He longs to do that.
Which is such good news. You think about it. If you decided to go back and try to change something, it would change something else, and you'd have a different set of problems.
Right.
Is his mercy enough for you today? And we're going to talk about that when we come back. The weight of regret and how it really stunts our spiritual growth. To me, I look at regret as like you've got the hose and you put your foot on it and the water can't get through. It seems like the fresh life of Christ can't get through when we are just stomped on regret and determined to hold on to that attitude. When we come back, we'll talk more about the story behind the novel, The Five Times I Met Myself. Such an interesting title. Talking to my friend James Rubart. You can call if you want, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, Susie@myfaithradio.com. The email, more when we come back.
Doesn't matter how deep, how dark the night is, keep hoping, keep on shining, and they'll see his light.
I just want to let that song play out because I like it. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good buddy James Rubart. He's a best-selling novelist and an all-around great guy, man of God. His newest novel is The Five Times I Met Myself. This is a bit of a departure from what you maybe are used to with Jim. I got to tell you, and I told you this before, Jim, that there's some of our readers, you've fast become one of their favorite novelists, and they learned about you on this show. So I love that we can meet you up with future readers. It's exciting. But this book, for those who just tuned in, some are catching us right now on their way home from work. Give us, if you wouldn't mind, one more, just a quick synopsis of the idea of The Five Times I Met Myself and what your kind of intended takeaway for this novel is.
Yeah, really the concept is, what if you could talk to your 23-year-old self and tell him or her to do things differently? Do you think your life would turn out better? Because we all have those choices we wish we could redo. And so I wanted to write a book that showed people hope and showed them redemption and showed them even those choices that you are just like, I cannot get over that. I'm telling you, this book will change your life. So am I allowed to say that about my own book?
Of course.
But seriously, this book, I believe, will change your life because it'll set you free from those regrets and from those choices. Andy Andrews, he endorsed the book, and he said, you know, if you don't think fiction can be life-changing, you need to read this book. And that's my hope, Susie.
Hmm.
I want people to come away from reading this book being free of all those past regrets.
And we talked about this, but it's the truth of the matter is, if you could go back, if you actually could go back and talk to your younger self and your younger self made a different choice, you might not make that stupid choice, but you make 10 other stupid choices, because we're not going to get around it, are we? I mean, we're going to make wrong choices. Our sinful bent will lead us astray at times. Our reactionary nature will lead us astray. So it's not as simple as if I wouldn't have made that one choice, because there's a host of others we could have made, right?
That's absolutely correct. You make that, it is dominoes, right? You make that choice, causes that choice, that choice, that choice, that choice. And the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future came out, where we see these, you know, in this comedy fun story about making choices differently and how things turn out. And actually, there is a little bit of reference to Back to the Future in the novel. So this is kind of like Back to the Future in reverse, but taking the humor out of it, my gosh, Susie, if we made different choices, I think most of us would go, oh, I never realized, because we're seeing that one minuscule choice. But we have a God, this is the cool part, we have a God that is so intimately involved in our lives that he is orchestrating every moment, even the bad choices, he is orchestrating it so that ultimately what comes out of that will be good.
Mm, so good. We're going to take a call from Lynn, checking in from Invergrove Heights. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a stack of these books to give away. As I mentioned, some of you will get what's called an advance review copy. So it's the same cover, but a little band across the top that just says advance copy. But we want to get a copy in your hands if you want a copy. 877-933-2484. To me, this is the perfect novel reading weather. I'm just saying. Lynn, you're on the air with Jim Rubart.
Hi, being blessed again by your lessons. I was just listening. I got in the car late, and so I haven't heard all of the methods, but it certainly sounds like something that resonates with me. And I just wanted to share with you something that I learned. I kind of beat myself up because I had a child at a very young age, and I think I did a splendid job with her. But again, you know, you still beat yourself up, and you're probably the worst critic. I would never do this to anyone I mentor. But I heard a sermon once, and they were talking about how Christ looks at us and how we look at ourselves. And they did the analogy, Susie, of fine china and a paper plate. And they said, when you know, serve food or soil, if you will, fine china, you would think of throwing it away. You would, you know, wash it gingerly. You wouldn't even put it in the dishwasher lightly and, you know, use it again. And it's pretty and pristine and just as new, just as Christ does when he forgives us. But we don't forgive ourselves like that. We kind of do the paper plate thing and kind of want to trash ourselves, if you will. And so I thought that was just a wonderful way of looking at how, you know, his perspective of us is so much greater than our perspective of ourselves.
Hmm. Lynn, that is fantastic.
We change our lens.
Hmm. I was just going to say, Lynn, that's just fantastic. And I picture you standing up someday and preaching a good message on that. I can hear it in you. You're a preacher. What do you want to say, Jim, to my friend Lynn here? What would you say to her?
Well, Lynn, you have nailed it. You have nailed it. One of my sayings that I'm very fond of repeating over and over again is, it is impossible to read the label when you're standing inside the bottle.
Mm.
And we are all standing inside our own bottles, and we do not see what's on the label, but the Lord does. And he's reading the label. If we really could hear what he is seeing on that label, it would change our lives, because we would realize that when Jesus says, when the word says we are complete in him, what it means is we are complete in him,
yeah.
Right?
Hmm.
There's no flaw. There's no imperfection. There's no blemish. There's no, well, you did this and this and this in the past. It's, are you kidding, my child? You're complete. You're perfect. Because of what Jesus did, that's how I see you. And that is good news, because then we don't have to strive. We don't have to go, oh, my gosh, you know, I need to do this cooking, and I got to get the meal ready, and I got to do all this stuff. And Jesus is going, Martha, wow, just slow down. I don't love you because of your works. I love you because of you. Sit in my presence. Mary's got it figured out. Just sit in my presence. And when we are in the presence of Jesus on a continual basis, guess what happens, you know? We change. We become even more like him. But the point is, in our core, we have been redeemed, and we are complete now.
Yeah. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the wonderful things he planned for us long ago." And Lynn, masterpiece, I love the equivalent of China, that you are his prized possession, and he takes great care of you. And as Lynn was saying, we are so much harder on ourselves than we definitely should be. Marcia's checking in from St. Paul. I want to hear what she has to say. Marcia, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. I just wanted to say that I don't know if I would, well, now that I'm in Christ, I don't know if I change anything, because he, when we come to him, we're a new creation in Christ, right? We're a new creature in Christ. So I don't know if I didn't have Christ, I would say definitely I would want to change all my regrets and everything. But now he uses the things that I've been through in my life to be a testimony for somebody else, to bring them out of darkness and to help them. So I wouldn't change anything. So,
love it.
I don't know. That's a really hard question. Now that I can see my life with and without Christ, Christ is such hope to me that and what the enemy intends for your bad, he turns it around for your good, and nothing is a surprise to him. You know, he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb, so it's not like he didn't know this stuff was going to happen to us, but he knows who belongs to him. So, I don't know.
Love it. Love it, Marcia. Great insight, and I think you probably spoke to somebody who needed to hear that today. Okay, James, what do you say to Marcia?
Well, she's absolutely right. There's such peace in that. There is such assurance in that. There is such rest in that. Instead of going back, again, we can say everything going forward. What are we told in Scripture? Forget what lies behind. Forget. The only reason to remember it is to go, wow, even that's redeemed. Even he can bring wonderful glory, even out of those things that I regret, because he sees the bigger picture. So I love that, Marcia.
Mm-hmm. We have just the most amazing listeners. Love these precious friends. So Leroy is checking in from Bloomington. Leroy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing, Susie?
Doing great. How are you today?
Not too bad. I've been enjoying your show on my drive home, and I just wanted to make a comment about the Christian fiction aspect of this and how that really can impact your life in ways that nonfiction can't. It kind of allows you to let go of reality and explore aspects of how you are living your life. And I really believe books like this can change the way you live. Books like The Shack, for instance, and other ones that, you know, really allow you to explore how you're living your life in a much different way, and they can have a true impact. And I'm kind of excited about this book that James has written.
I'm glad you called, Leroy. And, you know, you think about Jesus talked in stories all the time, and the power of story is so disarming. And Jim, you have so much content in you. You could easily have gone the nonfiction route. Speak to Leroy's thoughts. And talk about the whole idea of how fiction can get into our souls as we read these stories and make us more open to change.
Well, you said it, Susie. That's how Jesus taught. Mm-hmm. Primarily, he taught as a fiction writer, because he told parables. And story gets into our hearts and stays there so much longer necessarily than teaching. And teaching is important. Teaching is so important. And yet it's the experiences that we have. It's the stories we tell each other. We get together and like, oh, Susie, I got to tell you a story of what happened to me. Right? We want to tell story because that's the way we're wired to remember it that way. And so that's why movies and novels stick with us so long. Although I have to say, I'm going to take a left turn on you here. I have to say, oftentimes nonfiction can make a massive impact. And Darcy said, before I got on the air, she says, Jim, you have to tell Susie what a massive impact Blessings for the Evening had on me. I mean, seriously, she devoured that book, and she wrote it down on note cards, and she even had a friend of hers was going through a tough time. She wrote one of your pieces on a note card, gave it to our friend, And he took a snap. He took a photo of it and texted it to us and said, "Oh my gosh, this is getting me through.
My
this
goodness.
Is getting me through." So, so if you have not gotten Susie's blessings for the evenings, folks, you need to go out and get that book.
Wow, I appreciate that so much. And you know, I'm a nonfiction writer, but I bend towards, for my own pleasure and just thoughts. And when I'm on a plane, I go for the fiction, because just like what Leroy said, there's something about the power of story that takes your guard down. I don't know. I feel like you're more teachable when you're reading a story, because there's times where nonfiction can come across as seven easy steps, and you know what your problem is. Where story is just inviting you in to just be an observer and even sometimes a participant, as far as you just get so engaged. But this is just a little side note, but at Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference, which we've both been to before, it was the funniest. I don't remember which faculty. It was James something. He's a suspense. Jim Bell. Remember him? Yeah. He gets up and he says, and he wanted to break up the fiction and nonfiction writers. And he's like, "Okay, liars over here, truth tellers over here." I just thought that was the funniest thing. I mean, he's a fiction writer himself, but I thought that was hysterical. Okay, let's grab Janice's call from Monticello, Minnesota. Janice, thanks for holding.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I wanted to let you know that I am that 23-year-old or 24-year-old that if I could go back and tell myself to wait and be patient upon the Lord and wait upon Him, all good things come to your heart that you desire. And I was married to my husband, or I still am, I should say. We were married for 30 years this last October. But out of my mistakes and the life I was living prior to meeting my husband, I gained a life that I never thought I could through God's blessings and everything that He has given to us. And basically, I wish I could make my 23-year-old understand that same story, you know, don't do the things I did, listen to what I'm doing, and let God guide you and direct you the way that you should go. But I think everybody has to basically learn their own way, and maybe later on my 23-year-old will say to himself, maybe Mom had something really important to say, but I also have learned what I needed to learn along the way, and God has shown me where I needed to go.
Well, Janice, you speak with such richness, and I will not be one bit surprised if there's that day where your son comes back, and as he starts to own his own truths, you know, his own, you know, promises from Scripture, to come back and say, okay, you knew something I didn't know. But, Jim, isn't that just what Janice is saying is so true, that since we each are bent towards our own way of sin, we each need to make our faith our own and find it in such different ways. Why don't you say a word about that?
Yeah, we do. We have to go down our own paths. And, you know, I say the premise of this book is, what if you could go back and talk to your 23-year-old self? Well, there are 23-year-olds that are going, oh, my gosh, I wish I could go back and talk to my 14-year-old self, right, and make different choices. So I don't think you don't have to live that much life to want to go back and change those things. But I guess my heart is, I want people to realize those choices you made today, right now, you can start making different choices that can redeem those things. In other words, it's never too late. It is never too late to go, you know what? I was never the father I wanted to be to my son, but you know what? I can start right now. I can start right now with that relationship or this or that, whatever it is. And the great news is Christ goes, isn't this wonderful? That's all gone. It's all gone. So you are redeemed and pure and holy and fresh, and we can forget all that. Now, you know, go forward. Go forward from this point with hope, with excitement, with the glory that you know is coming. Don't look back. The only reason to look back is to go, you know what? Boy, I would have done that different. So right now I'm going to start doing what I can that I would have done differently back then.
Wow, well put. Talking to James Rubart. We got one more segment with him. If you've got a question for him, want to chime into the conversation, have so appreciated hearing from you, Leroy, Marcia, Janice, and so many of you. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the God who fights for us, the God who gives us a brand new name, a brand new identity. I see these themes in Jim's novels of spiritual warfare and of love. We're going to talk about why that is. More with Jim Rubart when we come back.
I wanna live for now. I wanna live
I love that song, and I chose that to go with today's conversation with James Rubart because Matthew West, we had him on a while back, and he was talking about this song about we've got to live forever. We've got to step back and think long. Think eternity. Life on earth is short, and the choices we make here matter because they echo into eternity. They absolutely matter. But we kind of add it all up as if it all happens here and it starts and ends here. This is just the warm-up. This is just the pregame, so to speak. But as Dr. Richard Swenson says, every step here, though, is a step there. So to understand that physical spiritual connection, talking to James Rubart today, his brand new novel is The Five Times I Met Myself. And if you just tuned in, you got to go back and hear the whole conversation. James will set up the synopsis, the storyline, and his whole intent. But to get to this point, you know, I was thinking, Jim, about one of my favorite New Testament books is the book of Ephesians, because it talks so much about the love of God and about spiritual warfare, the armor of God. And I got to say, I see those themes weave in and out of so many of your novels, that you are so passionate that followers of Christ, that they know that they're loved, but they also know that they're armed. And I want you to speak to why that's such a passion for you. Maybe that's my own observation, but I just see that. Speak to that if you would.
I will, because, yes, the overwhelming love of God and his grace and his mercy set us in a position where we are so strong, but we have an enemy that wants to convince us that's not true. We have an enemy that wants us to convince us that those choices we made, that those regrets that we have, make us unworthy to really live the destiny and the calling and the strength that is in each inside each of us. And we would extend that same grace and mercy. If I came to you and I said, Susie, I did this and this and this and this, you'd go, oh man, Jim, his grace covers that. His grace covers that. Now go forth and live in your destiny, live in your glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could do that for me, but it's a lot harder for you to do that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess my point is that we have this battle going on in our mind where we again and again and again agree with the enemy when he tells us you're not good enough. And not only are you not good enough, you're not really worth it either. So why don't you just kind of give up and, you know, you haven't made much of an impact. And gosh, you blew it with your daughter last week. And we just buy into that. When Jesus says, no, no. Have we made bad choices? Yes, of course. But we can go forward from this moment making a good choice, a greater choice, a wonderful choice. And we're going to blow it again. But every time Jesus says, come on, get back up. I'm here. I'm not condemning you. I'm not disappointed in you. This is a big one, Susie. I am not disappointed in you. And so many people think God's disappointed in them. Well, he's not. He's not. But just like the woman who was caught in adultery says, okay, that's gone. Forget that. Now, let's go forward and let's do something so glorious and so fun and so wonderful together. You ready? Come on, let's go.
What do you do, Jim, when you're dealing with feeling, when you're in the funk? I mean, there's times when you're not, where you have a strong sense of your identity in Christ. Not only do you have a strong spiritual sense, it actually feels true in your emotions. You know what I'm saying? When you feel like that, where you're walking in it and you're like, I feel bulletproof because I know that I know that I know. But there are other days where it just doesn't feel true. And it looks like it may be true for everybody but you. How do you get yourself out of that ditch when you start to feel maybe emotionally vulnerable, like a have-not, kind of more under the condemnation than you are in the acceptance of Christ?
That's a great question. And there's two ways I do this in my life. One is scripture. I mean, you have to be in scripture because that's true, right? You have to meditate on that and just go over and over and over and over it again. But sometimes people go, boy, I am so depressed. I am so down. I cannot even get myself to read my Bible. I can't even meditate on scripture. Here's what I suggest. And this is going back to it's impossible to read the label when you're standing inside the bottle. This is why fellowship, why having people in your life that can tell you the truth is so important, that you have people you can go to and you can go, Susie, you know, I'm just not seeing it. We need the Susies and the Jims and everybody's lives to come along and go, oh, you forgot what was on the label, didn't you? Well, let me tell you. Mm. Let me tell you the truth about Jesus, but let me also tell you the truth about you. You know, last week when you did da-da-da-da-da, do you know how much life that gave that person? And we forget those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us has this glory on us. Because why? Because we are in Jesus. And we need other people, our brothers and sisters, to continually read the label for us.
So good. So good. We just got a couple minutes here before we pray, and I would love to know, what's your next project, if you can give us a glimpse?
Yeah, this next one. Oh, it's so fun. I just turned it into my publisher, and It's about a guy. He's in his mid-30s and kind of going through really, really difficult crisis. And he hears about this lost corridor at the end of this lake, that if he can find this corridor and get through it on the other side, he'll get what he wants most in the world. So I'm not going to say any more than that, but yeah, I'm excited about that one coming up. That's mm-hmm. that's going to be, again, a journey, really kind of an inner journey, the kind of thing we all go through.
Excellent. And when does it release?
So that's going to be, should be May of this coming year.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, last question, because I know I'm going to get it from friends who are listening. What advice do you have for the aspiring author?
Write.
Yeah.
Write some more. Write some more. Write some more. Write mm-hmm. some more. It's and I've used this analogy before, but it's like the brain surgeon who says, "Hey, I'm going to take 6 weeks off this summer and become a novelist." And the novelist buddy says, "What a coincidence! I'm going to take 6 weeks off and become a brain surgeon." Mm-hmm. In other words, it is a craft. It is an art form that you need to study, just like you'd study piano, or guitar, or dance, or painting, or anything else. It just you have to dedicate yourself to it.
Yep. Good, good advice. And love this time with you. Always love chatting with you. Appreciate your heart so much. Wondering if you would pray for that person listening today who's hearing you and feeling like the wind is coming back in their sails. Maybe they've lived with a lot of condemnation and regret, and like one of our listeners says, they're their own worst critic and enemy. Would you pray for that person listening today?
Yes, I would love to. Lord Jesus, we don't want to beat ourselves up, and yet we do it so often. We believe the lies about ourselves, and yet, Holy Spirit, you bring us truth. And so I pray you would speak truth into that person right now that's listening that says, yep, that applies to everybody but me. I pray light around them. I pray truth around them. I pray release around them. I pray glory on them. Jesus, your glory, because you long with each of us to draw us into your arms and love us like we cannot comprehend. So, Jesus, I pray freedom on these people. I pray freedom on Susie and Grace and her team. And Lord, that's what we want. We want freedom in you. We want to know you so deeply, that you do become our entire life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you so much, my dear brother. Thank you for giving us your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me on. So, always so great to be with mm-hmm. you.
Well, until May, when that next novel comes out, sir.
All right.
Sounds good. Title of his book here again is The Five Times I Met Myself. That's part of what it means to live the promise. We want so much to help you look up, think long, think eternity, and live that way. Live like those promises are true. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And in just a little bit, you'll find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember to tell your friends who live outside our network to download the new, brand new, free Faith Radio app. They can live stream from anywhere, anytime. We'll meet you back here next time.